Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's solicitations as picked by listeners like you. This is Preview Spotlight number 208 for the March 2025 solicitations, with highlights picked by listeners like you. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items in the upcoming solicitations that you might find interesting. Now, comics are a pre-order business, so whether we like it or not, it behooves us to take a look at what's going to be offered a couple of months out and let our retailers know so they can order appropriately. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to promote the comics you love as often as you can. Now, there are thousands of items solicited every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle, or just fly beneath your radar. We'll be starting with the DC Connect catalog, followed by the Marvel's Previews catalog, and then working our way through the Diamond Previews catalog. Obviously, we aren't going to go item by item, or page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and those highlights are picked by people like you. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is the pre-order catalogs, of which there are so many to choose from. There's DC Connect, there's the Image catalog, the IDW catalog, the Marvel previews, the Diamond previews, the Next Phase catalog over at Lunar, and then there are some items that are in no catalog whatsoever, because they're on Kickstarter or some other thing. But we like to cover all of those things here in the Preview Spotlight, and I like going through all of these catalogs. Now granted, it does take a little time. You can get digital copies of all of these. We've got some links in the forum threads for these episodes. But it's a great way to find out what's coming up, what's for you, and what's not. Because not everything is for everybody. There are certain comics some people are going to love, I'm not going to like, some I'm going to like, and other people aren't going to love. And that's great. That's why we do these episodes. But that's also why you need to look at these pre-order catalogs. Not every shop is going to get every comic, so to make sure they get the ones you want, you need to know what you want, you got to let your retailer know. So I recommend picking up the pre-order catalogs, either digitally or physically for the ones that are available physically, because not all of them are. Spend a little time once a month going through it, see what's available, maybe you'll find something that'll become your new favorite comic in the future. So once again, that's the pre-order catalogs of DC Connect, Image Catalog, IDW Catalog, Marvel Previews, Diamond Previews, Next Phase, No Catalog, and whatever other catalogs come out in the future.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. And my first DC Comics pick in this March previews is on page 2 with Superman Unlimited number 1. Written by Dan Slott, with art and main cover by Raphael Albuquerque, and this is the one I'll be getting. Variant covers are by Frank Quietly, and I like his art. So if I was going to pick a variant cover, I would probably pick his. Gabriel Delato, Lionel Francis Yu, and Seba Fiumara. A 1 in 25 variant cover by Dave Raposa. A 1 in 50 variant cover by Christian Ward. A 1 in 100 variant cover by Frank Quietly, a 1 in 250 variant cover by Lionel Francis Yu, a James Gunn cameo variant cover by Dan Mora, a gold foil variant cover by Sozo Mica, a Superman Month variant cover by Jim Lee, and a blank sketch variant cover. The cover price of the regular edition is $4.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $5.99. And this issue is scheduled to go on sale May 21st. The summer of Superman heats up with a brand new ongoing series taking the DCU by storm. When an asteroid the size of Metropolis hurtles toward collision with planet Earth, the Justice League dispatches Superman to avert the crisis. But a sinister threat lurks within that will change the world like never before, and this danger glows green. The last son of Krypton must risk everything to save his adopted home, the very home which now tries to kill him, from complete destruction. The Man of Steel is poised to fly like never before in this new Cornerstone series, brought to life by the dazzling DC debut of writer Dan Slott, the superior Spider-Man, and renowned artist Rafael Albuquerque, all-star Batman. I've been working on trimming my comic book budget to a more manageable size, but after reading this solicit, I couldn't resist adding it to my comic book list. It looks like it's going to be a very exciting story and a fun summer, or should I say a fun super summer, with the new Superman movie coming out in July. Billy Hogan again. My next DC pick is on page 5 with Absolute Superman number 7, written by Jason Aaron with art by Carmine DeGiandomenico. The main cover is by Rafa Sandoval, which is one I'll be getting, with variant covers by Dan Panosian and Leslie Lyrix Lee, and a 1-in-25 variant cover by Jorge Molina, a 1-in-50 cover by Dan Panosian. The cover price of the regular edition is $4.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $5.99, and this issue is scheduled to go on sale May 7th. His stolen alien technology is at the heart of Lazarus Corps' global success, but he operates out of a seedy lair packed with bottled cities. Cities he tortures relentlessly just to hear the faint chorus of screams. Who is the mysterious Brainiac, and why is he so interested in the last son of Krypton? This version of Brainiac sounds even more horrific than the Brainiac we've all come to know and fear. So far, I'm enjoying this alternate universe version of the Man of Steel, so I'm eagerly anticipating the revelation of this new version of Brainiac. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is on page 12 with Superman number 26, written by Joshua Williamson, with art by Eddie Barrows and Eber Ferreira. The main cover is by Dan Mora, which is the one I'll be getting, with variant covers by Derek Chu, Guillaume March, and Mark Espinal, with a 1-in-25 variant cover by Clayton Henry, and a Super Mashup variant by Riley Rossmo. The cover price of the regular edition is $4.99 for 32 pages, with the cardstock variant covers at $5.99, and this issue is scheduled to go on sale on May 28th. Superman is infected with red kryptonite, and after the shocking events of Superman number 25 with Lex Luthor and Mercy Graves, Superman is possessed with a new kind of anger. Who will join Superwoman in protecting Metropolis from his rage? I'm very familiar with red kryptonite from the Silver Age, and in the 90s, they had a storyline with a version of red kryptonite. So I'm looking forward to seeing Superman in this current continuity dealing with the Red Menace. Billy Hogan again. My next DC pick is on page 20 with Action Comics number 1086, written by G. Willow Wilson, with art by Gavin Goodry, and the main cover is by Brad Walker, which is the one I'll be getting. Variant covers are by David Tolosky and Coley Hamner, with a 1-in-25 variant cover by Marcio Takara, and an AAPI Heritage Month variant cover by Cliff Chiang. The cover price of the regular edition is $4.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $5.99, and this issue is scheduled to go on sale May 14th. Arctic Attack. With Superman on the ropes, Kilgore continues his fight against humanity with the help of the animals of the snow desert. Could our hero's fortress hold the key to a victory? Find out in the thrilling finale of Superman Superstars. The main thing I'm enjoying about the current run of Superman titles is that they all have fantastic stories, and this one looks like it's not going to be any different. Billy Hogan again. My final DC Comics pick is on page 31 with Batman and Robin, Year 1, Number 7, written by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee, art and main cover by Chris Samnee, which is the one I'll be getting, variant covers by Declan Shalvey and Javier Rodriguez, with a 1-in-25 variant cover by Ethan Young. The cover price of the regular edition is $3.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $4.99, and this issue is scheduled to go on sale May 21st. The General is on the hunt for the man behind the mask and is on the warpath. As the dynamic duo continue to stretch themselves thin and tire themselves out, stopping various threats around Gotham, the General's threat closes in on them. This has been a great miniseries about the first year of the Batman and Robin team, and I'm looking forward to reading how this series will wrap up.
This is Jason with my first pick from the DC Connect catalog. On page 42, it's Superman vs. Shazam, all-new collector's edition, number 58, facsimile edition. The Man of Steel vs. Earth's Mightiest Mortal. It says, when the immortal Martian wizard Karmang seeks to resurrect his long-dead race, he enlists Black Adam and the Quarmer to capture the energy required by annihilating Earth-1 and Earth-S. To keep Superman and Captain Marvel from interfering with this plan, the two champions are set against one another. Now it's the Man of Steel versus the world's mightiest mortal, with the fate of two worlds in the balance. So I've always been a Captain Marvel slash Shazam fan, and it wasn't until I was a little bit older that I realized that he was not always with DC Comics. For some reason, I thought he, as I was growing up, I saw him with different teams and just assumed that he was a Golden Age character that was part of the Justice Society of America. But definitely these all-new collector's editions, these giant tabloid comics that they're reprinting are fun. And the size of the art is unbelievable and pretty good for my eyes these days. So I definitely recommend this. You have Supergirl, you have Mary Marvel in here. Earth-S is where Captain Marvel and his family and adventures took place before the crisis. So $14.99 for 72 pages. It's definitely a fun ride getting to see Captain Marvel versus Superman, which I know is a big one. And you also have Black Adam making an appearance in here too, which is pretty nice. So I definitely recommend this if you're a classic Superman fan, superhero, or kind of super family fan, because this is a really good story. So definitely recommend this book.
Next up on page 42 of the DC Connect is Superman vs. Shazam, all-new collector's edition number 58, facsimile edition. Now, this is a story that Sam and I discussed in Back Issue Spotlight number 99, where we were covering the final third of the second Shazam hardcover. This is a ton of fun. It's written by Jerry Conway. We've got art and cover by Rich Buckler, Dick Giordano. It is classic Bronze Age Superman versus the Captain Marvel of the time. We got Supergirl, we got Mary Marvel. I just really enjoyed it. It's a 72-page story, and I think this is absolutely worth checking out. I'm looking forward to this. Highly recommend it. Once again, that's Superman vs. Shazam, all-new collector's edition number 58, facsimile edition on page 42 of the DC Connect.
Jason again with my next pick on the DC Connect catalog. On page 43, it's Our Army at War 151 facsimile edition, a Sergeant Rock adventure for the ages. Sergeant Rock of Easy Company lays it all on the line to show his men he's got what it takes to pass a most dangerous initiation. And in a special two-part adventure, thrill to the first appearance of Rittmeister Hans von Hammer, enemy ace, as the human killing machine does brutal battle in the skies over World War I Europe. So I guess this is the first appearance of Enemy Ace, which I didn't realize it was in the Army at War where Sergeant Rock appeared. So he's a very interesting character in that he is a World War I German pilot that they write, I don't want to say maybe as a hero, maybe as an anti-hero, and giving you his perspective on all of the dogfights that he experiences during World War I. So I definitely am going to pick this one up. I have several of the Our Army at War series, mainly because of Sergeant Rock, if maybe 99% because of the appearances of Sergeant Rock. For whatever reason, that character was one I always connected with, and I just really enjoyed his stories, how he was able to lead men in trying times, and they would always have some harrowing adventure or situation that he had to help get them out of. I guess the same can be said of Enemy Ace, even though I haven't read as much of his material. I know they at some point collected the Enemy Ace comics because he ran for quite some issues, maybe not just in this one, but in some other volumes, DC War volumes as well. They did like one or two DC Archive editions, which I do not have those. But anyway, I look forward to checking out his first appearance and as well as getting a good old school Sergeant Rock story in here as well. So I recommend this if you're an old school DC Comics War fan. Jason again with my next pick in the DC Connect catalog. And on page 48, it's DC Finest, Justice Society of America, The Plunder of the Psycho Pirate. It says the DC Finest line of chronological collected editions grows. So I'm glad that they're putting out so much content. Like at the bottom of this page, you have a Wonder Woman DC Finest. I think that's probably from the, looks like it has different, maybe some different years here, collected from different issues. And then you have DC Finest Science Fiction, The Gorilla World, and it has some interesting characters. As most people who've been reading DC Comics for quite some time know, that they had this fascination of using gorillas or stories with gorillas in them on the cover, and they ended up doing pretty well in terms of sales, so they kept doing it. But so I like how they're able to diversify the line, and a lot of these things, as far as I know, like they have Tommy Tomorrow, Captain Comet. I'm not sure that a lot of them have seen reprints over the years. But anyway, so I'm glad they're doing these. So they try to have something for pretty much everybody. I'm a big Justice Society of America fan. And this second volume, even though they're not doing it necessarily volume one, volume two, this is technically the second volume. The first volume that they did that came out recently was DC Finest, Justice Society of America for America and Democracy. And that one picked up All-Star Comics issue 3 through 12. And of course, 3 is the first appearance of the Justice Society of America. Whereas issues 1 and 2 of All-Star Comics had some of the JSA members having individual adventures. And then they would actually, in the first two issues, they did not come together. Starting in issue 3, they would come together and discuss their adventures that they had, in which they helped to solve an overall problem or issue. So, whereas later on, I'm not sure exactly what issue, but later on they ended up like truly being a team and fighting off different characters and fighting out of different scenarios as a team. So this continues that line. So like I said, the first volume has issues 3 through 12. And this one says, your favorite classic JSA characters return in this follow-up volume, collecting their early exploits together from All-Star Comics issues 13 through 24. Join Hawkman, Dr. Midnight, The Spectre, Starman, Johnny Thunder, Dr. Fate, The Atom, and The Sandman as they continue to defend the world from villainous Nazis, invaders from beyond, and supervillains such as the Psycho Pirate, who uses emotions as weapons. It's Golden Age adventure at its best. Written by Gardner Fox and Jack Kirby. So, like I said, this connects right to the original, the first volume, which went from 3 through 12. This one connects 13 through 24. And so I look forward to reading all of these, and hopefully they will continue to collect them in chronological order. So if you wanted to see the early days of the Justice Society, especially during those war years, this is a perfect opportunity to pick it up. In the first volume, you also got the first appearance of Wonder Woman, and in case anybody wanted to see that. But anyway, I'm really glad they're doing this. I look forward to picking up these volumes. At some point, I look forward to them completing like every main appearance from the JSA. That would be pretty awesome if we have a DC Finest line from the first appearance of the JSA up through whenever they end the line, which I think they said they would go up through 2011. So anyway, definitely check this out if you are a Justice Society of America fan.
Hey, this is James here with a pick in the DC Connect, and I'm over on page 57 on the electronic digital DC Connect. For some reason, DC didn't ship their Connect with my last shipment of comics from Cowabunga. I got the other publishers, but not DC. So I'm looking at the electronic one, and they have Nightwing by Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo Omnibus Volume 1. I'm pointing this out. This is Omnibus Volume 1, which indicates that there should be a Volume 2. Tom Taylor did an excellent job with Nightwing, although he meandered a bit and went forever, went a little bit too long on the tangents before he got to the Heartless thing and then kind of wrapped it up quick. He writes a good story. And Bruno Redondo on the art is just fantastic. So I'm excited to pick up this omnibus to see his art in a bigger format, a bigger, brighter, beautiful format. And this is going to be a $100 omnibus, 608 pages. I expect we will get a volume two. Whenever they say volume one, that indicates there should be a second volume. It's a slim omnibus. I think they could have done two. I think they could have done $150, one volume, 1,200 pages. But hey, you can charge $200 for 608-page omnibus and make $50 more. So, it is what it is. I'm going to get my discount through Deep Discount Comics. Well, whatever. We're just getting fleeced. They don't think we know their tricks. We know. It's coming out July 22nd, 2025. I'm not going to go over the material because John and I have talked about it extensively when we've done monthly spotlights. We were big fans of this run. It's just really good stuff. This is covering Nightwing issues 78 through 96, Nightwing Annual number 1, and Superman Son of Kal-El number 9, with a brand new introduction by Tom Taylor, commentary by Redondo, and an extensive behind-the-scenes art gallery and brand new cover by Redondo. I'm on board for this. I saw this instantly. I'm getting it. So that's my only pick from DC this month, although, believe it or not, I will say this with a caveat. I am enjoying DC a little bit more than Marvel at the moment across the board. And that doesn't happen very often because I am a Marvel guy. I grew up a Marvel zombie. So anyways, on to my next pick.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and I am in the Image Catalog. I got my first print Image Catalog. I am on page 1, Blood and Thunder, number 1. Story by Bonito Sereno. Art and cover A, EJ, Sue, and Misak. I'm sure I screwed that up. And then 5 other colors. There's even a blank one. J. Scott Campbell has got a cover E, which is not shown down here at the bottom where you see extra covers. J. Scott Campbell is a great artist, so that's a 1 in 50. I just want to take a look at it. I am not buying a 1 in 50 because most stores don't put it for $50. They'll put it for $80 or $100. And I ain't got that kind of money to spend on a comic book. Gotta blow my whole budget. Anyway, series premiere, May 7th, 40 pages, $3.99. Look at that, Marvel. Look at that, DC. 40 pages, $3.99. Bounty Hunter, Akeldama, I think that's how you say her name, Akeldama Blood Bledsoe, and her cantankerous talking gun, Thunder, are the best out there at bringing in the bad guys. However, when the galaxy's most dangerous criminal breaks out of prison, Blood's hunt delivers her down a path that will unlock secrets about her past, present, and future. And that's when things get really bad. I love the talking gun part. It kind of reminds me of, there's another book out there where a sword talks to someone. I didn't read it, but I hear a lot about it. I played D&D when I was in my teens, way back long ago. And there was a special thing where you got your weapon to talk to you, but the DM got to tell you what the weapon was saying. So this brings me back to like when I was a kid, you know, with the talking sword as I was playing D&D way back when. Blood and Thunder sounds awesome. Why not? I've never heard of Benito. Says he does Tech Jacket. I have no idea. Hopefully it's great. Robert Kirkman is obviously going to be the Visionary creator. Partnership with Visionary creator. So Robert Kirkman is on tap for helping them out. So I'm sure it's going to be awesome. All right, on to the next pick. What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick, and I am still in the Image Catalog. I'm on page 14, and I'm looking at Feral 13. I have not read Feral yet, but my daughter cannot get enough of this. This was supposed to be a miniseries through 6, then it got pushed to 12. Now we're pushing. I think it's going to become an ongoing. It's not 13 right now. There is no sign of it stopping, which is amazing. Again, my 9-year-old is reading this, so it's great. I love it. I love that she's reading it. I will be picking this because I will be picking it up for my daughter. Eventually, I will read it. So it says, Tony Fleeks is the story writer, which he's doing a Marvel book, which I'm picking up just because Tony Fleeks is writing it. I don't even remember who or what it is, but I'm picking it up just because I'll give a respect to Tony Fleeks. We love Stray Dogs. My daughter loves Feral. I'm going to give him the shot. Artist is Trish Forstner. Tony Rodriguez and Brad Simpson. I did not know there was extra art in here. Usually it's just Trish Forstner, but maybe she's gotten busy with something else also. So the pet supply superstore looks like a perfect place to survive the rabies-ravaged wilderness. All the cats have to do is figure out how to break in. Fortunately, LC has a plan, but will her guilt and trauma keep her from executing it? Plus, love is in the air for Gigi, which means Lord has the hardest job of all, babysitting kittens. Cover A looks good. Cover B is a Jason Voorhees one, which is Friday the 13th, which I probably will pick up that one also, because I'll keep one for her to read and destroy, and I'll keep the other one in the bag and board just because I love the cover. And cover C is probably a 1 in 10. Yep, 1 in 10. And it's just, what do you guys call it? It doesn't have any of the logos on it. All right, on to the next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick this month comes from the Image Comics catalog on page 145 with Geiger number 14. Written by Jeff Johns with art and main cover by Gary Frank and Brad Anderson, and that's the one I'll be getting, with cover B by German Peralta and cover C by Stefano Raffaelli and Brad Anderson. Ghost Machine's radioactive renegade faces his most perilous challenge yet as he confronts the devastating chaos brewing in Lewistown, Montana. With his power spiraling out of control, Tariq must fight to protect himself, his allies, and the innocent lives at stake. But salvation might only come with the unexpected aid of the Glowing Woman. Jeff Johns and the rest of his creative team continue to craft a very excellent and interesting post-apocalyptic science fiction story. Thank you, John, for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium. And I want to thank all the other fans who are sending in their clips. And I look forward to hearing what everyone else is going to be reading out of the March previews.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick. Still in the Image book. Like I said on my end of year, Image has got my vote for the best publication right now. We're on page 19 with Invincible Universe Battle Beast number 2. If you guys don't know who Battle Beast is, he's a murdering machine. He wants to fight anybody who's worthy because he wants to die a worthy death of someone being able to top him and kill him. And he finds it in Invincible, the book, but I'm not going to tell you when or where. I think it's actually coming up in the cartoon. He fights, you know, the Vertramites. But anyway, Battle Beast is bad A. Story is Robert Kirkman. Art is Ryan Ottley and Annalisa Leone. There's one. Cover F is the 1 in 100. It goes all the way that far. If I'm looking at all these pictures, I will get the cover A. Doug Mankey, I like his art, but I don't know if I'll pick that one. Cover C looks pretty cool, but it's a 1 in 10, so I won't be getting it. All right, the best not-a-quite superhero series in this universe continues. Battle Beast has entered the Blood Games. This is bad news, but not for him. Obviously, they can't tell us too much because this is number 2, and number 1's not coming out probably until next month. But definitely pick up number 1, pick up number 2. This is going to be a hot book, especially since Invincible is back at season 3 or 4, whatever it is, right now, and it's going to get hot again for a little bit until the season's over. All right, on to the next one. What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and I am in my Image catalog, my first time getting a paper one, and I'm looking on page 42. We're looking at Transformers Compendium Volume 1 Trade Paperback. I have all of my Invincibles in this compendium style. Much easier to read. I'm not worried about the spine cracking and all that stuff. And it's a little cheaper than a hardcover. So this is Transformers from 1 through 46 and Transformers Headmasters 1 through 4. Bill Manto, Ralph Macchio, Jim Salkrupp, Bud Dubinsky, Len Kaminsky, and Steve Parkhouse, all writers. And then you got a huge list of artists. This cover is by Daniel Warren Johnson and Mike Spicer. June 10th, 1,200 pages, full color, $64.99. Advanced solicit because it's coming out in June. Transform and roll out from the very beginning. Transformers rocked the comic book world with their debut that was truly more than meets the eye. Now you can experience every issue from the original series and tie-ins in this new reader-friendly compendium format for the very first time. Discover heroic Autobots, the evil Decepticons, and a galaxy-spanning war that will leave you breathless in the first volume, perfect for fans new and old. I'm picking it up because I've never read the full Transformers, so why not? All right, on to the next pick. What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and I am in the regular previews now. I am looking at page 205. I am pretty sure it's Boom Studios. Oh, IDW. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said Boom Studios. IDW. We're looking at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 10. So 1 through 6 was pretty much setting up the whole story. So 1 through 4 was about the Turtles. 5 was about Casey Jones. 6 is about how the Turtles had to move from where they were to Jersey. Welcome to New Jersey, boys. I didn't read 7. I have it, but I didn't read it yet. So writer Jason Aaron. Artist is Juan Feria. And cover artist is George Forns. The trial of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle begins here. Framed for murder they did not commit. Brothers of Hamato are prisoners of the Foot Clan, awaiting the judgment of the city's greatest criminals. In the battle for New York City, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have officially lost. We all know they didn't lose, they're going to break out, what have you. But cover A, which is, I'm guessing, the only cover they have in this previews book, they see a bunch of cop cars and Raph looking down from the roof. Looks pretty cool. Jason Aaron's TMNT is actually really good. I've actually really enjoyed it. And I love that they're in Jersey now. I got to read number 7 to catch up. Let me know how you guys are liking the Ninja Turtles. Tell me on the Slack channel. All right, on to the next one.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and I'm on my first pick in the Marvel previews. I'm on page 2 and 3, Godzilla versus X-Men number 1. Fabian Nizella is the writer. I have no idea. Emilio Lazo, I have no idea. Covered by Tony Daniel. All right, and then, of course, 100 covers, because it's a one-shot. So we have round 4 versus the Uncanny X-Men. It says Uncanny, but this is 90s Jim Lee's X-Men. I don't know why they say Uncanny. Yeah, it doesn't look like Uncanny X-Men to me. So when a robotic firm draws a kaiju anger, the X-Men are called to protect the world that hates and fears them from the counterattack of Godzilla. What are the reasons for Godzilla's attacks? And are the X-Men on the right side? Follow the X-Men as they take on the King of the Monsters before humanity sends forth Sentinels to finish the job. How many pages? 32 pages, $4.99. $5 for a book. I know it sucks, but you know what? Like, I do love my X-Men. I do love the 90s era X-Men. So this is right up my alley. I'm definitely going to get it. And I hope you guys do too. On to the next pick. This is X-Men Patrick, and I don't think this has ever been done. But I am on page 12 in the Marvel previews, and I'm saying don't pick up Giant Size X-Men number 1. They're rewriting Giant Size X-Men, and now they're trying to introduce Ms. Marvel as a mutant, which she wasn't originally like that, and they changed her and killed her and had to bring her back as a mutant. Either way, they're trying to rewrite our Giant Size X-Men. Call it something else. This is getting so annoying. This is why these companies are losing money and they have to do the Marvel vs. DC again. Because who in the right mind wants to change something that was so good so many years ago? Anyway, I'm saying don't pick up Giant X-Men. Make them see their mistake. On to the next pick. X-Men Patrick, I'm still in the Marvel previews. We're looking on page 27, Predator versus Spider-Man. Benjamin Percy, which is like probably one of the best writers, is writing this. This is number 2 of 4. Marcelo Ferreira is the artist. Covered by Paulo Sequeira. Again, I don't know any of these people. Variant cover by Ryan Stegman. This cover A is pretty cool looking, but I'm sure Ryan Stegman's looks great too. Ed McGuinness is also doing a cover, and then, of course, a TBA cover, because let's push this stuff out before it actually comes out. All right, so Predator, Spider-Man, number 2. Skinner slaughter continues. The hottest day of the year has brought a blackout to New York, and the Predator stalks in dark streets. A Predator unlike any other. Skinner has no clan or code, so no one is safe, including MJ, who finds herself trapped on a stalled subway train deep beneath the city. Peter researches the bloody history of the new enemy while invading Detective La Pearl, and Kraven begins his ultimate hunt. So I love these Predator verses. I love Aliens verses. I really wish they would do a Star Wars versus Marvel somewhere somehow. But, you know, I will stick with these. I like these small miniseries. They're great. Probably better than the ongoing series. So on to my next pick.
Hey, this is James here with a pick in the Marvel previews. And I'm over on page 20, the covers on page 21, where they have Fantastic Four Fanfare, number 1 of 4. It's written by several writers, Mark Wade, Alan Davis, Andrew Wheeler. The artists are Ramon Rosanas, Alan Davis, and Sarah Pacelli. And it basically says in big red, legendary comic creators give the FF their best in the special full-color anthology series. And normally I do not like anthologies unless they're really good stories. And so I am a fan of the Fantastic Four. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that these are good anthology stories. So fingers crossed for this one. So it says full-color anthology series. Each issue focuses on a particular member of the team. For this inaugural outing, Mark Waid and Ramon Rosanas depict an escalating prank war between the Human Torch and the Thing. Alan Davis sends the team into Hazard's deep underground, and Andrew Wheeler and Sarah Pacelli reveal what happens when the Mole Men interrupt Johnny Storm's star-making turn on reality television. It is 40 pages, $5.99. When I heard each member of the Fantastic Four, I think some people who like to see the Fantastic Four all together may not like this one. But believe it or not, the start of the Fantastic Four by Ryan North, when we focused on each one of the characters for the first three issues and then they were all brought together in the fourth issue, I did enjoy it. So I'm hoping this will be good. This one looks like it's on Johnny Storm and the Thing a little bit in there. I don't know if it's both of them. It looks like it's more Johnny focused. And on to my next pick.
This is Jason with my first pick in the Marvel Previews catalog. On page 42, it's Hulk and Doctor Strange number 1. It says two defenders reunite for a journey into the psyche of Bruce Banner. When Bruce Banner needs help, he goes to the only doctor who is willing to see him, Dr. Stephen Strange. Travel back to the origin of the Incredible Hulk with J. Michael Straczynski and German Peralta as they answer the question, can you truly change the past? I have some more material here. It says, plus May Parker and Agatha Harkness team up in the most unlikely manner, the Mighty Marvel manner. So I'm always been a big fan of the Defenders, the classic Defenders, where you have Namor, Incredible Hulk, Doctor Strange, and Silver Surfer. And so anytime we have like a pairing of those old teammates who weren't quite the best team, the different kind of team, but I definitely want to check that out. So I was hoping it would all just be one particular story in here. I'm not sure why they tried to throw in a different story that's completely unrelated here in the back. And I don't know if it's going to be 20 pages for the main one and then a few pages for the early one, or if it's going to be split. I'm not sure how they're going to do that. But anyway, I look forward to seeing this. It looks like it's literally going back to the origin of the Incredible Hulk. So I look forward to seeing what this story entails and the interaction between Hulk and Doctor Strange, which has always been an interesting one over the years. So recommend this if you are a Hulk or a classic Defenders fan. This is Jason again with another pick from the Marvel Previews catalog. On page 57, it's Fantastic Four number 48 Facsimile Edition. So in this one, not only do you have, of course, the Fantastic Four and the Watcher who's on the cover, but you do get to meet, at least in a cameo at the end of this particular issue, you get to meet Galactus. And throughout the latter part of the issue, you get to actually see the first appearance of Silver Surfer. So both Silver Surfer and Galactus, and that introduction to the Marvel Universe really kind of opened up the cosmic type of stories. And a lot of these, you know, evolved or started from the original Fantastic Four series. But yeah, both of those characters, Silver Surfer and Galactus, both when they're together as well as separated, I find them very intriguing characters, very interesting characters. So I look forward to checking out this. I do have it, of course, in like Epic Collection format. I don't know that I have these issues. I read them by way of Marvel Masterworks, I think, too, in the past. And they've reprinted them over the years and different trade paperbacks, but it says the astonishing first chapter of the all-time classic saga that fans call the Galactus Trilogy. Everything changes for the Fantastic Four and the entire Marvel Universe when they meet the enigmatic Silver Surfer, herald to the world-eating Galactus. The FF are still reeling from being caught between the Inhumans and Black Bolt's treacherous brother, Maximus the Mad, when the sky above New York is seemingly engulfed in flame. And soon the Watcher arrives with a portent of doom. The Silver Surfer, wielder of the awesome power cosmic, is on his way to Earth as the advanced scout for one of the most powerful entities in the universe. And when the being known as Galactus arrives, this world will be his next meal. It's one of the all-time great Marvel comic books, boldly represented in its original form, ads and all, reprinting Fantastic Four 1961, issue 48. It says at the bottom, Marvel is reprinting the original Galactus trilogy as it originally appeared over the next 3 months. So that's good news, too. So we will actually be able to have those original first three issues. So I definitely recommend this if you've never read it. It feels like there's just this continual opening of new characters and new worlds that all sprout from the Fantastic Four main comic book. And definitely some two long enduring characters appear in this story. So they've continued to be very interesting and intricate in throughout the Marvel Universe, especially the cosmic part of the Marvel Universe. So definitely recommend picking this book up.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and we are on page 71 of the Marvel Previews. Incredible Hulk has a double page. Incredible Hulk number 25, Philip Kennedy Johnson writer, Nick Klein is the artist, wraparound cover by Nick Klein, and then a bunch of variants. Incredible Hulk vs. the Mighty Thor. Once again, Bruce Banner and Charlie's search for Doctor Strange now points towards Asgard. But when the gateway opens, the way is blocked by the Odin Sun, who recognizes Charlie as a vessel for an ancient and powerful enemy. Don't miss this oversized and most epic rematch in Marvel history. It seems like he's always fighting either Thing or Thor. That's the only two people Hulk really fights all the time. 40 pages, $4.99. So Image has still got them beat, but I still love my Incredible Hulk. I'll be picking this up. You guys should too. On to the next one.
Hey, this is James here with another pick in the Marvel Previews, and I am on page 74. The cover is on 75, where I'm looking at Star Wars number 1. I just found this interesting because, one, this may not be on this order form. I saw it solicited on last month's order form. So I did pre-order it there based on it being I don't know if this is a full reboot. It looks like it's a rebooting of Star Wars, and based on what I can find online, it looks like they're going after the Return of the Jedi movie. These are the comics that are coming immediately after that, whereas other things were happening before that. So it says, an epic new adventure begins for Luke, Leia, and Han in the wake of Return of the Jedi. The Alex Seguera, I guess that's how you say his name, is going to be the writer. Phil Noto's artist. I really enjoy Phil Noto's art. I think he's a fantastic artist. And I'm going to give it a try again. I was all in on the Star Wars stuff until they started coming out with like too many books, and I let go of it right when they started rebooting it. They rebooted Darth Vader and Star Wars, I think it was. I can't remember. My mind's a little fuzzy. And I think I dropped the Star Wars titles then. But I'm going to try this one now because it's right after Return of the Jedi. I do like Star Wars. We'll see if this hooks me. Let's say I'll give it an arc, and we'll see where we go from there. On to my next pick.
Kyle and Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit with our first pick on page 74 of the Marvel Previews catalog.
Star Wars.
Did you skip a Star Wars 1?
That's what I'm heading to. Getting there now. Star Wars 1. Alex Segura, Phil Noto. New adventure begins for Luke, Leia, and Han in the wake of Return of the Jedi. A New York Times bestselling artist Alex Segura and critically acclaimed artist Phil Noto launched the bold next era of Star Wars. Luke Skywalker must defend the New Republic from the bloodthirsty gang of mercenaries. Han Solo investigates a deadly underworld mystery and saves a surprising ally. Leia Organa must grapple with a new alliance opposed to the goals of the New Republic.
I'm no marketing wizard.
Okay.
But I did sleep at a Holiday Inn last night. And I would think that Star Wars number 1, with all these cool covers and a new jumping on point, would get a better position than 77.
This should be on the cover of this stupid book. This should be the lead item. This should be screamed from the rooftops. And yeah, it's buried 77 digital pages deep. That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. We have a standard cover. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. At least 10 covers for a book buried 2/3 of the way through the book.
Yeah. They're sticking a bunch of interior pages. They're giving it a push.
Yeah.
But they're just pushing it way down. It doesn't make sense to me.
You literally put two copies of Jeff the Land Shark Solicit before this.
Right. With typos.
So there you have it. Check out Star Wars number 1 on page 74 of your print, 77 of your digital Marvel previews, and check us out at Comics for Fun and Profit, wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Jason with my next pick in the Marvel Previews catalog on page 86. It's Tomb of Dracula Omnibus, Volume 1, new printing. It says, The Lord of Vampires stars in an acclaimed series from Marvel's classic era of horror. He rose from the grave in 1972, ushering in an age of horror like nothing seen before or since. Now behold the Prince of Darkness, first encounters with his most implacable enemies of the era, including legendary Blade the Vampire Hunter, with ghosts, mutants, mad scientists, and more, plus a tour of the Lord of the Vampires' earlier U.S. activities, with such stops as the Pool of Blood and the Devil's Heart, featuring Werewolf by Night and Lilith, daughter of Dracula. Collecting Tomb of Dracula, 1972, issues 1 through 31, Werewolf by Night, 1972 series, issue 15, Giant Size Chillers, number 1, which became Giant Size Dracula, and then that has those issues 2 through 4. So this is a $100 book, and if you've never read this, if you're a classic Bronze Age horror fan from Marvel or DC, but specifically Marvel, I think this is kind of the cream of the crop of those stories. A very engaging story. The stories are written by Marv Wolfman, Jerry Conway, goes on and on. Great authors that have written this. Gene Colan is just, to me, he's just perfect for these stories. I think the big issue with this line is that they reprinted it several years ago in the late 20-teens, I think, maybe like 2017, 2016. I'm not sure exactly when the first. It's a 3-volume set to complete the Omnibus collection, which they reprinted. It's long been out of print. They ended up reprinting volume 1, and I want to say it was 2019. I'm not sure exactly what year. And then it's been years, and they never reprinted volumes 2 or 3, which complete the series, because Tomb of Dracula was a 70-issue series. So it takes about 3 volumes to complete this. But anyway, I've been trying to collect these by way of Marvel Masterworks because I missed the complete collections, which are also out of print too. So I'm hoping one day somehow to have the complete set. But anyway, I definitely recommend this. It's a great classic Bronze Age horror story. It gets to bring Dracula into what was then the contemporary time and some interactions with some Marvel characters too. So definitely give this one a shot if you've never read it before. I'm hoping that we'll get volumes 2 and 3 at some point, even if it's a year from now, you know, volume 2, a year from now, volume 3, as long as we get it complete at some point. So definitely give this one a shot.
Next up on page 78 of the Marvel previews is the Marvel Multiverse Role-Playing Game Avengers Expansion Edition Hardcover. Now, I've been getting these because since they've stopped doing like the official handbook of the Marvel Universe or anything of that sort, when you get these role-playing games and they're able to kind of dive into the continuity and stuff, it's a lot of fun to see their take on the characters, the history, the backstory, how they explain these characters to people who may want to do them as a role-playing game character. Now, do I care about all the stats and whatnot? Not so much. I haven't played a role-playing game in ages. It'd be fun to do. It's just don't really have the time for it or the social group for it, actually. But these things are sometimes just some great resources for finding out more about the characters, the headquarters, the storylines, the narrative universe and stuff. Now, this is a $50 or $49.99 hardcover. It is 256 pages, but they've been coming out with some really interesting material for this new multiverse role-playing game. I think it's worth checking out. Certainly if you're a role-playing game fanatic, I think it's worth doing. If you're just into more kind of reference material on the Marvel Universe, this game, I think, is a good place to go to as well. So once again, that's the Marvel Multiverse Role-Playing Game Avengers Expansion Hardcover on page 87 of the Marvel Previews.
This is Jason again in the Marvel Previews catalog on page 91, and another omnibus I'm really looking at enjoying is the Death of Captain Marvel omnibus. Basically, this is completing the original adventures of Captain Marvel, or as we know him, Captain Marvel. The interesting thing is they did a volume one, Captain Marvel volume one, and unfortunately, they didn't call this volume two. They're calling it The Death of Captain Marvel, which I know is a very important book and is sold a lot. And so maybe more name recognition. But yeah, I guess if people haven't gotten the first one, they'll be like, well, what happened to the earlier part of the series? And it's collected in the Captain Marvel Omnibus Volume 1. But it says, completing the original adventures of the first Captain Marvel. Welcome to the next level of cosmic consciousness with the adventures of Captain Marvel. From Earth to the Moon, to the Watcher's homeworld, and into the Negative Zone, these galaxy-spanning stories set the tone for Marvel epics. Bonded to Rick Jones by the Negabands, Captain Marvel defends his adopted planet against the Kree and their mad quest for genetic superiority and galactic empire. Then, in a deadly plan set in motion by Thanos' death, the massive computer ISAAC, or Isaac, takes over an entire world. This once-in-a-lifetime omnibus also features massive battles with Drax the Destroyer, the bizarre Lunatic Legion, and of course, Jim Starlin's legendary graphic novel, The Death of Captain Marvel. Collecting Captain Marvel from the 1968 series, issues 34 through 62, Marvel Spotlight, issues 1 through 4 and 8, Avengers Annual 7, Marvel 2-in-1, Annual 2, and Marvel Graphic Novel 1, which is The Death of Captain Marvel. And material from Marvel Superheroes 1990, the What If series, issues 3 and 17, and What If the second series, which was 1989 series, issue 14. And one of those tells the story of what if Captain Marvel had lived, or what if he had not died. And so I think that's a good one to read up against the death of Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel has always been one of my favorite characters from the Marvel Universe. I picked up several of his books when I was little, not in order, just finding them, really enjoying the Jim Starlin covers and the storyline. Just really, really amazing stuff. I was definitely moved by the death of Captain Marvel. I think it's a very touching story and not a typical story of a death of a superhero. Most superheroes go out and dealing with an all-out battle, sacrificing themselves, saving the world, and all that kind of stuff. But in the death of Captain Marvel, it's a different story. And it's a story of losing a loved one and how that can affect you. I really like that particular story, and they have pretty much a who's who of the Marvel Universe and shows how they are reacting to, like, honoring Captain Marvel and how they react to his death. So, like I said, this is technically volume two, but I highly recommend picking up this classic Marvel Cosmic Adventures, The Death of Captain Marvel Omnibus. This is Jason with my next pick in the Marvel Previews catalog on page 103. It's What If Galactus trade paperback. And I just mentioned with the previous omnibus of Captain Marvel, they collect some What If, and that's more of the classic What If series. And this one is like a modern take on What If. So definitely have some interesting stories in here. And it says, Marvel's What If returns with a series of cosmos-shattering tales in which surprising new heralds serve the devourer of worlds. A series of shocking stories explore the possibilities of some of Earth's greatest heroes pledging themselves to Galactus. When the World Eater enlists the Incredible Hulk as his herald, what will turn out to be the bigger mistake, trying to direct the fury of the Green Goliath or giving the great mind of Bruce Banner a cosmic problem to solve? Gambit is the most charismatic and capable thief on Earth, which is exactly how he grabs the attention of the Devourer of Worlds. With the power cosmic flowing through his veins, Gambit is unstoppable. But is he clever enough to steal the unstealable? When Khonshu and Galactus clash, Moon Knight is caught in the middle. But when Mark Spector takes his turn as Herald, his alters manifest in startling new ways. A young Rogue uses her mutant power to absorb the power cosmic of the Silver Surfer, changing the entire course of her storied history. And after coming to the aid of a wounded Herald of Galactus, Spider-Gwen is empowered in the Devourer's service. Collecting What If Galactus Transformed Hulk, What If Galactus Transformed Gambit, What If Galactus Transformed Moon Knight, What If Galactus Transformed Rogue, and What If Galactus Transforms Spider-Gwen. So I've read a few of these. I look forward to reading the rest. I've read the Hulk one as well as the Moon Knight one. But the Rogue one really sounds interesting too, because you know she has the ability to absorb people's powers, and definitely it would change her history for sure. So I am glad they are continuing this What If series, even though it's more of like, instead of an ongoing series or a themed series, it's, and this one is more of a themed like mini series or a series of one shots that are exploring a particular theme, you know. So I look forward to checking this one out. If you enjoyed the classic What If series, it definitely has some fun alternate takes on Marvel history. So you get to see Galactus interacting with these characters, and instead of the Silver Surfer being their herald, these characters that I mentioned previously, they take their turns being his herald in this What If story. So definitely check this one out. Jason again with another pick in the Marvel Previews catalog. On the very next page, on page 104, it's Moon Knight, Fist of Khonshu, Volume 1, Leave Home, Trade Paperback. Mark Spector is back from the beyond. As an avatar and agent, Khonshu, Egyptian god of the moon, former mercenary, Mark Spector has died and come back to life on more than one occasion. To the ignorant, his fate beyond death's grasp may seem idyllic, but being chosen as a Fist of Khonshu comes with a heavy cost. And like bones in a street fight, Mark Spector and the multitudes he contains may be about to break. Reunited with his midnight mission, which has grown in his absence, Mark heads straight into the fight of his latest life as dangerous operators on both sides of the law target heroes, villains, and civilians with callous disregard for safety. Joke's on them, though, because Moon Knight also has a callous disregard for safety, and his is bigger. Collecting Moon Knight Fist of Khonshu, issue 0 through 5. It's 144 pages for $19.99. So this is a continued series from Jed McKay, who started in the original Moon Knight series, continued on into the Vengeance of the Moon Knight miniseries, which is about 8 issues. The first volume was about 30. That was about 8. This one, they just solicited issue 8 in this Marvel Previews book. So it's continuing the story of the Midnight Mission, and I do kind of like the direction that Jed McKay has taken him. I'm really glad he stuck around for such a long run. So we're looking at probably about 4 years. So I don't know how long he will continue to hang on, but I hope he continues to come up with great ideas, and having Moon Knight kind of stuck in the middle of everything. And it sounds like a fun book. So if you like street level characters like Moon Knight, Daredevil, I definitely think this is a good one to pick up. This is Jason with my last pick in the Marvel Previews catalog. On page 115, it's Silver Surfer Epic Collection, Into the Outer Void. This is volume 12 in the Silver Surfer Epic Collections. It says, the legendary George Perez writes the Silver Surfer. The Sentinel of the Spaceways embarks on an adventure that will take him to the edge of reality and beyond. Given an ominous warning by the enigmatic Watcher, the Silver Surfer must quell a terrible disturbance in the universe. But to do so, he'll have to face an adversary whose power may dwarf even his own. On the other side of the conflict, Norrin Rad will not be the man he once was. In fact, he may have fallen to pieces, literally. Has the Surfer finally met his final fate here in a place beyond comprehension? Or can he pull himself together to save the universe from total annihilation? With reality itself at stake, the Silver Surfer will battle the Unilord, guest starring Legacy, son of Captain Marvel. Collecting Silver Surfer 1987 series, issues 111 through 122, Silver Surfer Dangerous Artifacts, Silver Surfer Ashcan number 1, Spider-Man Team-Up number 2, and material from X-Men Unlimited 1993, issue 13, and Marvel Holiday Special 1996. So I guess this month has been like a cosmic month for me in terms of the most of the stories that I've called out, but Silver Surfer is a great character. This was a very fun series mainly by Ron Mars, and just wonderful, wonderful art and intriguing story. So this is a little bit past the Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War, Infinity Crusade, and all of those, but still very interesting, you know, getting closer to the end of this particular run. Hopefully they will continue to fill these gaps and we will get the complete run of Silver Surfer from the earlier issue that I called out this month for Fantastic Four 48 to the end of that classic 1989 series, which ended in I think issue 146, I believe. So looking forward to continuing to catch different parts of a story and one day have that complete. Definitely recommend this if you are a Marvel Cosmic fan, Silver Surfer fan.
What if you knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, what was going to be solicited next month? What would you order? There's no easy answer, since we don't get next month's Marvel previews today.
Once again, it's time for the early edition of the Marvel previews. This time, we've got, on page 119, it's Jeff number 1, Ultimate Spider-Man Incursion number 1, Death of the Silver Surfer number 1, Fantastic Four number 6 Facsimile Edition, Spider-Girl number 1, and Ultimates number 13, because once again, they can't seem to sync up their order form in their catalog. These things are going to be in the next catalog, so you can see what they're going to be then, but you got to order them now. Again, this drives me nuts. That's why I'm pointing it out, making sure people don't miss stuff, because certainly Ultimates number 13 I'm going to want. I really want to know what this Ultimate Spider-Man Incursion is before I order it, but I'm going to have to wait until the next Marvel Previews comes out and then put my order in at the last minute. But this has been an ongoing problem with Marvel. I think it's safe to assume at this point they're probably never going to fix it, so I'll shout these out every time I can and highlight what's not on the order form, and just so you can be picking those things out and being aware of them so you don't miss stuff. So once again, that's the early edition from Marvel on the Marvel checklist on page 119 of the Marvel Previews.
This is Jason with a pick from the Next Phase catalog on page 320. It's Cryptoology issue number 4, edited by Peter Normanton. It says, I, the cryptologist, throw open my putrid sanctuary as an acclaimed illustrator, Alex Ross, regales us with the gory lowdown on his Universal Monsters paintings. Tim Leese and Hammer Time then take us face-to-face with that studio's classic film, Brides of Dracula. Mark Voger puts the horrors of 3D movies of the 1950s into focus, and editor Peter Normanton literally brings that era's 3D comic books to life with a mini-history and complete 3D story reprint. From there, we embark on a journey to discover the early origins of blood-curdling slasher movies, as a prelude to the macabre pre-code artwork of Atlas's Bill Everett and ACG's 3D maestro, Harry Lazarus. Another killer B-movie awaits, courtesy of Steve Cronenberg, as does Cartoon Creepiness by Pete Von Scholle. It's a crypt full of the macabre, prepared especially for retro horror fans. So I've been getting this series so far. I believe I've received issue 1 with the rest of the issues in on order. And I like Tomorrow's because they do a great job of comic book history. They also do pop culture history as well. And it looks like this book hits all those sweet spots for me. So classic horror, both comics, and they usually will highlight something each issue, as well as movies and things like that. So I definitely recommend checking this one out if that's something that you enjoy. It is a magazine for $10.95. Now, this is the first month that Tomorrow's has moved over to Lunar, and so it's in Lunar's Next Phase catalog. So you won't see, well, I will say this, I think the only things you'll see in previews from now on are things that Diamond has previously received and is in their inventory warehouse that they're trying to sell off pretty much. From what I understand, everything that has not been shipped yet is now going to be going through Next Phase into the Lunar warehouse. So if you're wondering what happened to the Tomorrow's publishing new magazines, the new productions, books, and things like that, then make sure you download the Next Phase catalog, which John has the links on his website, comicbookpage.com, in the preview spotlight section. He also has the links on the emails that he sends. So I definitely recommend checking this one out. Like I said, this is a great company. They do a lot of wonderful research and things where you're reading, you're like, that sounds kind of familiar. And by the time you're finished with the article, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's right. That's true. I remember that now. So anyway, they do a good job of cataloging this. And one of the coolest parts is they have the cryptologist who is like the crypt keeper from EC Comics. So they've continued that tradition of having a horror host, which is pretty neat, including letters to the editor if you want to reach out to the editor. So definitely recommend this book and keeping an eye out on Tomorrow's publishing other books as well. This is Jason with a pick in the Diamond Previews catalog on page 63. It's Space Ghost Johnny Quest, Space Quest number 3. It says, under the grudging tutelage of the Guardian of the Spaceways, Johnny, Haji, and Bandit are starting to get a feel for life among the stars. But their beginner's luck is about to run out, leading to a crash landing on a decidedly inhospitable world and an epic throwdown between Space Ghost and Dr. Nightmare. So this is a continuation of the Johnny Quest Space Ghost series. I believe it'll be a 5-issue miniseries, but I'm not 100% sure. I actually haven't gotten the first issue yet, but I've enjoyed Joe Casey's run on Johnny Quest, bringing Johnny Quest back. And I look forward to seeing Johnny Quest interacting with Space Ghost. So it's a good time to be a Hanna-Barbera fan with Space Ghost, Johnny Quest, Herculoids, and other properties too that they're bringing back in Dynamite. So I definitely give them credit for continuing to explore these properties that which they don't own, but overall are doing a lot with. So I definitely recommend this book if you enjoyed the Johnny Quest series, if you're a Johnny Quest fan, or if you've been reading the Space Ghost series also from Dynamite. So definitely check this one out. It's $4.99 coming out on May 14th, 2025. This is Jason again with my next pick in the Diamond Previews catalog on page 91. It's The Green Hornet, Miss Fury, number 5. It says, the end is near. Cornered and defeated, the Green Hornet, Kato, and Miss Fury must put their differences aside and join forces once again when the true villain pulling the strings behind the scenes is finally revealed. But can they overcome their own fears and shared past to save a city from a fate worse than death? Find out as the pulp hero team-up of the century and concludes in The Green Hornet Miss Fury number 5, written by Alex Segura. It's $4.99, so this is the end of this miniseries. I think they did a great job of capturing the essence of both characters. It does feel like a nice pulp adventure, though I would say it's more set in the 60s versus the 30s or 40s, but still, it's been a nice team-up. I hope they continue to bring these Golden Age characters back, not specifically these two, but any of the Gold Age characters, the Spider, the Shadow, Doc Savage, any of these guys that they can bring back and come up with a good story. I think it would be lots of fun. So I'm glad to be able to finally finish this series, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it ends. This is Jason again with another pick in the Diamond Previews catalog on page 112. From Titan Comics, it's King Conan, the Original Comics Omnibus, Volume 3. So this actually concludes that series, and so we'll read the solicit here. It says, this mammoth volume includes one of the more rarely collected stories from the conclusion of John Buscema's first long tenure on the Conan line of books as presented here and in the Conan of Isles graphic novel. The rest of this collection includes the remaining run of issues of Conan the King as penned by Don Krahr and then Jim Alcee, a.k.a. Christopher Priest, with notable artistic runs by Mike Dougherty and Jeff Isherwood. It says, collecting Conan the King from the 1984 series, 36 through 55, which completes that series, and Conan of the Isles graphic novel is Marvel graphic novel number 42. I'm glad that they're including these graphic novels. I think there were about 5 or 6, I'm not sure exactly, that Conan was in, and I'm glad they're connecting these to where it most makes sense in his ongoing series and the story. I look forward to getting volume 1 of King Conan, Original Comics Omnibus. You know, we got that one as it was released from Marvel a few years back. I'm still waiting on the second volume, which will be from Titan, which has been solicited but not yet come in. So looking forward to seeing that. And then this will complete that series. So we'll have all of Conan the Barbarian, the original series, issues 1 through 275, and all the annuals and specials. And then Conan the King, or King Conan, as it started out, our Conan the King series. We will have that complete as well, which was 55 issues, and they've added some graphic novels and other specials along the way. So I'm really glad that they are continuing this. Titan has done a great job of continuing to keep the flame burning bright for Conan. And I consider this particular series, even though it is towards the end of it, a very good quality series and what I consider like peak Conan stories when I was enjoying Conan the most, I would say. So this is coming out, King Conan Omnibus Volume 3, coming out on September 3rd, 2025. It is $150, and thank goodness it's a pretty good volume, 896 pages. So I definitely look forward to checking this out. And if you are a classic Marvel Conan fan, I definitely recommend giving a check and getting to read this again.
Hey, this is James here with a pick from the main previews catalog, and I am over on page 112 and 113. 112 is the solicit, 113 we get some interior art, where I'm looking at King Conan, the original comics Omnibus Volume 3. I think we had Volume 2 solicited just like maybe a couple months back. It wasn't that long ago. Marvel, when they had the license, only did one King Conan, or Conan the King, King Conan, however you want to say it. And then they kind of let it go. And now Titan is doing volumes 2 and 3 of King Conan in omnibus format. So I definitely pre-ordered number 2. I'm going to be getting number 3. The writer on this is Don Krar, Christopher J. Priest, a.k.a. Jim Owsley. Believe it or not, I know Christopher Priest. I didn't know he was Jim Owsley. I didn't know that was his writing pseudonym. So there you go. Artist John Buscema, Mike Doherty, Jeff Isherwood, Tonya DeZuniga, Judith Hunt, and Mike Manley. And it says, in this mammoth volume, and I said, mammoth volume, how many pages is that? 896 pages for $150, but you will get a discount through Deep Discount Comics from Eric. It says, this massive volume includes one of the more rarely collected stories from the conclusion of John Buscema's first long tenure on Conan line of books, as presented here and in the Conan Isles graphic novels, and I have never read that. The rest of this collection includes the remaining run of issues of the Conan the King as penned by Don Krar and then Jim Owsley, a.k.a. Christopher Priest. And by the way, I have seen Jim Owsley as a writer in the past. I just didn't know he was Christopher Priest. With notable artistic runs by Mike Doherty and Jeff Isherwood. Collecting Conan the King from 1984 issues 36 through 55 and Conan the Isles graphic novel 1988. From Marvel Graphic Novels number 42, and I've never read that Conan of the Isles graphic novel. So this will be new material for me too, so I'm kind of excited for it. The art looks great. I buy anything Conan related, so I'm definitely picking this up. It comes, even though it's being solicited and we're pre-ordering now, it's not coming out till September 3rd, but pick it up if you are a Conan fan, because I sure as heck am. On to my next pick.
This is Jason, again, from the Diamond Previews catalog on page 114. It's Solomon Kane, The Serpent Ring, number 3 of a 4-issue miniseries. It says, spinning out of the pages of The Savage Sword of Conan, the first new Solomon Kane series in 15 years. And this is exciting time if you are a Robert E. Howard fan, obviously with all the Conan releases, both reprints and current issues. It's also a great time if you're a Solomon Kane fan, and I'm a huge Solomon Kane fan. I'm a fan of the era in which he lives and the type of, you know, I call it the Puritan pilgrim type era, but also the type of adventures that he has too. It's written and illustrated by Patrick Zercher, who has done a phenomenal job with the stories that we've seen in Savage Sword of Conan with Solomon Kane. I think he has a great handle on the character, both artistically, like visually, as well as the way the character handles himself. So he's done a great job. It says, Kane battles from the Barbary Coast across southern Europe to the canals of Venice as a band of rogues forms around him in their quest for the fabled Serpent Ring of Set. So the Serpent Ring of Set first made an appearance in the first published Conan story, The Phoenix on the Sword, and we get to meet a character named Thoth Amon who finds his ring, the Serpent Ring of Set, and Set is like a serpent god who is their stand-in for Egypt, I guess you would say. We call it Stygia or the Stygian people. And so anyway, I'd be curious to see how this connects to any of the Conan stories that might be going on, because I believe they're doing a serpent ring or serpent type of story as well, which is going to be probably based around Thoth Amon or around Stygia. So I look forward to seeing that and if there's any connection. It looks like this is definitely taking place in his own time, which I'm glad. I think the characters work best if they keep them in their particular time, in their environment, instead of bringing them out of time and they're, you know, just trying to adjust and all that versus it being in their element. The best stories, I think, happen when those characters are in that, in their own element. So I look forward to getting this. I haven't actually seen the first issue yet, but I have good faith in Patrick Zercher, and Titan is continuing to put out quality material and representing all the Robert E. Howard characters very well. This is Jason again, still in the Titan section of the Diamond Previews catalog on page 126. It's Marvel's Venom, the first 40 years. It says, this book explores the comic book history of Venom, from his origins as a foe in the Spider-Man comic book, to his greatest battles, deadliest enemies, and his unlikeliest allies. This tribute to one of Marvel's most iconic characters also includes profiles of the talented creators behind Marvel's deadliest anti-heroes' ongoing adventures. It also says at the bottom, offered again Spider-Man the first 60 years hardcover, which they released a few months back. I definitely recommend that one if you're a Spider-Man fan. I'm a huge Venom fan, specifically Eddie Brock, the original Venom fan, and his story, and his really his story arc. And I think they did a great job with the character. The cover, I'm sure you guys have seen this cover at some point. It's from the Venom limited series, Venom Lethal Protector. It had a red holographic cover in the background, and he looks like he's about to pounce on someone. But I like how they are highlighting the creators, because I think a lot of times the storylines are important and the characters introduced are important. But I also like to hear about the creators behind characters and what those creators were thinking when they came up with the characters, when they had certain storylines. Like, I think that's also an important part of that creative process, to see how did this character come about? You know, what were they thinking when they designed him? So, like I said, I look forward to checking this one out. It's coming out on September 3rd, 2025. It's a 128-page hardcover. And if you've seen any of these, the first, you know, it'll say the character and then the first 40 years or 60 years or however long they've been around, 80 years, I think, for Captain America. And so they're continuing this series, and another character that I really enjoy and like to know more about, and, you know, see if there's anything that I've missed over the years that I might go back and get a chance to pick up. But $24.99 on sale September 3rd, 2025 from Titan Comics. This is Jason with a pick in the previews catalog on page 142 from Ablaze Publishing. It's J.R.R. Tolkien Genesis Collected Set. So this has more than just the Tolkien story. It says, delve into the life and inspirations of the father of epic fantasy with Ablaze's J.R.R. Tolkien Genius Collected Set. Two great graphic novel titles, Kalevala and Tolkien Lighting Up the Darkness, that reveal the personal history and literary inspirations for Tolkien's most well-known works, all at a specially discounted price. In Kalevala, the graphic novel, artist Sam Makonnen presents a stunning comic adaptation of the Finnish national epic, The Kalevala, which inspired J.R.R. Tolkien to write Silmarillion and Lord of the Rings. The story tells the adventures and fates of the wizard Vanamonin, warrior Lemminkainen, blacksmith Imarin, and other larger-than-life characters looking for love, riches, and magic in the faraway lands of the ancient north. The world of the Kalevala is lyrical, harsh, and totally unique. In Tolkien Lighting Up the Darkness, J.R.R. Tolkien was not always the old Oxford professor, pipe in the mouth, refining his extraordinary work. In 1915, at age 23, he left for the front with his high school friends, whom he loved like brothers. The horror of war will brand his relationship to friendship, love, and creation. This graphic novel explores the youth of the author of The Lord of the Rings and his traumatic experience of the battlefields of the First World War, which will forge the imagination of his literary work. So I have actually read the Tolkien Lighting Up the Darkness, and I did not, somehow I missed the solicitation of the other book, but I really enjoy Tolkien and his fantasy world, Middle Earth, that he created. The story that talks about his life is very, very interesting, and he definitely goes through some very, very good times, but also some bad times as well. I am curious to read this other epic that he got his inspiration from, because I think I remember reading about it, but I didn't know they had made an adaptation, a graphic novel adaptation. So I look forward to checking this out. This is a collected set. It looks like for $38. So the Tolkien one I read a few months back and really enjoyed that book. It pretty much goes from the beginning of his life in graphic novel format all the way to when he starts writing Lord of the Rings when he's a professor. So it covers a good portion of his life up until that publishing. So the other one, like I said, I don't know much about it, but I look forward to checking that out and seeing what inspired him to create the world of Middle Earth, the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit and the Silmarillion. So definitely check this out if you are a J.R.R. Tolkien fan.
Hey, this is James here with another pick, and I'm on page 144, and I'm going to say 145. I'll say both pages, where we are getting Gannibal Volume 8. Writer and artist is Masakai Ninomiya. Okay, I am butchering this Japanese name, I'm sure. I mentioned Gannibal way in the past. Gannibal, I got it for a free comic book day. I read it. I liked it. I picked up the trade paperbacks. I have 1, 2, and 3 sitting here, and I was literally preparing to read them. This is a solicit for Volume 8 of this. It's a soft cover. It's 200 pages. It's black and white because it's manga. It's a little bit more mature title, manga horror, for $12.99. If you think about it, $12.99 plus you get a discount from Deep Discount Comics for 200 pages, that's a steal versus most comics what you pay today, because this stuff's already made their money in Japan. This is just gravy. There's a translator cost. That's it. There's no creator cost here. There's the paper and the translator, and the translator is typically done by computers. They can do that now. But the thing that I found interesting is over on page 145, and it's something I literally didn't know when I was picking this up and starting to read it, or preparing to read it. It says, read it before you binge it. So if you're not a reader, or if you don't want to pick this up, and I am always a fan of reading source material, but whatever. It says, this is March 19th, 2025, which I am recording this on March 5th. I don't know when this preview spotlight goes up, but maybe before March 19th, maybe after. It's coming out on Disney Plus, season 2. So there's 2 seasons, and I was like, Disney Plus for a horror manga about cannibals? That just kind of blows the mind. I didn't know they had cannibal stuff, anime stuff on Disney Plus. So makes me want to open up my Disney Plus app, which I pay for and I never use it. So I might check it out just to see what in the heck this is all about. But I'm going to read the comics first before I open it up. And on page 145, along with the read it before you binge it, they're resoliciting volumes 1 through 3 of the collection. And I know that Eric can get you the future volumes as they come out. So if you want to get up to speed, you can. There are only 3 volumes out so far. So pick up 1, 2, and 3 right here. Pre-order volume 8, read it, and then go watch it over on Disney Plus. Kind of cool. All right, on to my next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My first pick from Dark Horse Comics is on page 197 with Umbrella Academy Plan B, issue number 1 of a 6-issue miniseries. The writer is Gerard Way, and the artist is Gabriel Ba, who also does the main cover, and that's the one I'll be getting. Variant covers are done by Fabio Moon, Claire Rowe, Mike Del Mundo, Duncan Figredo, David Aja, Jill Thompson, Dustin Nguyen, and Tula Lote. After the mass release of the city's greatest foes and the chaos that followed in Hotel Oblivion, the Umbrella Academy faced their most fearsome challenge to date, their other brothers and sisters. Known only as the Sparrows, they share a different connection to Sir Reginald Hargreaves and Mom. No one knows how to hurt each other more than family, and this powerful, ruthless brood will spare no brutality in favor of their sole objective, control and the obedient glare that comes with it. A harrowing and action-filled study of ambition, futility, and violence, the Umbrella Academy Plan B is what happens when those far more powerful tell us what we need. It's scheduled to be in shops on June 11th for the cover price of $4.99. I've loved every miniseries under the Umbrella Academy title, and I'm not going to miss this one. And I still need to finish watching the Umbrella Academy series on television. Billy Hogan again. My final Dark Horse pick is on page 198 with Usagi Yojimbo, 10,000 Plums, issue number 4 of a 5-issue miniseries. The writer, cover, and story artist is Stan Sakai, and I'll be getting his cover because I love his art so much. And variant covers are by Hitoshi Ariga and an artist to be determined. Usagi and Yukichi find themselves among a band of pilgrims in search of the miraculous goddess known as the Mother. The skeptical Ronin's doubts recede as the desperate plight of their new friends unfolds, revealing the obstacles that stand between them and salvation. Can the goddess Kanon come to Tabo's rescue? Discover the answers in this captivating and highly personal two-part tale. It's scheduled to be in shops on June 18th for the cover price of $4.99. I always love Usagi Yojimbo. The stories give us insights into Japanese history, customs, and folklore, and I always save it to the bottom of the pile because I look forward to reading it every month just about more than any of the other comic books in my stack.
This is Jason with my next pick in the previews catalog on page 200. It's the EC Archives, The Complete Moon Girl hardcover. Now, these particular hardcovers I have not been getting from EC Comics. I've been waiting for the trade paperbacks, which are much more cost-effective, I guess you could say. Much more content for the price. But this is the first time, as far as I understand, that this has been released in any format. So I just kind of want to read this, and then we'll go over the interesting aspects of the Moon Girl character. It says, writer Gardner Fox, artist Sheldon Moldoff. Lost classics from the early days of EC Comics. All the Moon Girl stories collected in one place for the first time. Witness the amazing adventures of Claire Loon and Lionel Manning, Moon Girl and the Prince, who together fend off invaders from other planets as well as fight crime, and who dedicate themselves to the task of creating a better world. This hardcover volume collects Moon Girl number 1 through number 8, as well as the Moon Girl stories published in other EC titles. Scanned and digitally restored from the original comic books, it showcases the work of comic book greats Sheldon Moldoff and Johnny Craig. So the interesting thing about this character is, first of all, as most people know, the Marvel Comics has taken over the name Moon Girl, and of course a completely different character, but she is, or this particular character is public domain, so that's why Marvel was able to do that. So basically, Sheldon Moldoff helped to create this character, and she first appeared in 1947's comic called Happy Hooligans Number 1, and because of the way that comics were so rapidly changing, they kept retitling her series, which is really, really funny. For example, Moon Girl and the Prince was the first issue of her series. Then it changed to just Moon Girl for issues 2 through 6. Then after that, it became Moon Girl Fights Crime for issues 7 and 8. And then for issues 9 through 12, it became a Moon, a Girl romance. So very interesting. And then in issue 13, they completely changed the series to what we know as Weird Fantasy, which was a popular series from EC Comics. So it's like they were trying to follow trends and couldn't quite figure out what to do with the character. But anyway, so it's very interesting in how many, in a short period of time, how many different genres they tried to hit with this title. And what they used to do back years ago was they would change the title. Instead of starting at a new number one, they would just change the title of the book but continue the numbering, because I think they had to pay like a special fee if it was considered a new series to the post service. So anyway, a very, very interesting character, and I'm looking forward to checking this out when it does come out in the EC Archives softcover edition. So recommend this if you're a classic EC Comics fan.
Hey, this is James here with another pick in the main previews catalog on page 201 in the Dark Horse section, where there is King of Spies Library Edition hardcover, writer Mark Miller or Mark Millar. Artist Matteo Scalera and Özgür Yildirim. That sounds like a Turkish name, but I don't know. I'm sure I butchered it. It says it's regarded as Millar's comics masterpiece. King of Spies left jaws on the floor as he and artist Matteo Scalera took the classic tropes of the spy genre and subverted everything as Britain's greatest secret agent, now in his 60s, discovers he has 6 months to live. He has a choice between gentle decline or going after everyone he thinks deserves to die. His worldview has changed since he retired from the service. As he looks around at the mess the world's in, he has a long list of people he blames: politicians, royalty, journalists, and celebrities. Sir Roland King wants to root out as much of the corrupt status quo as he can before he goes, and a lifetime of experience makes him almost impossible to catch. Who is the one man who might be able to take him down? His estranged son, eager to destroy him after Roland abandoned both he and his mother many years ago. It collects issues 1 through 4 of the series, so it's only 152 pages. It's in a big, big, big oversized hardcover. It is $49.99. So for this, is honestly, the library editions are not the best priced. Like, I think an omnibus is a better deal, in my opinion, for the page count versus the price with the discounts. But realize you will be getting 40% off this, so you will be paying about $30 through Deep Discount Comics. And for 152 pages and a big oversized hardcover. And why does oversized matter? Because it's Matteo Scalera art. Mark Millar always picks the best artists to work with. And so if you're a fan of Mark Millar or you're a fan of Matteo Scalera, you're going to want to pick this up. I'm going to pick it up because I like most everything Mark Millar writes. And I'm picking it up. I'm a big fan of his. So if you want to support him, pick it up. It's over here on page 201. On to my next pick.
This is Jason with a pick from the previews catalog on page 208. It's a featured item from Abrams Comic Arts. It's called The History of Jerusalem, an illustrated story of 4,000 years hardcover. Now, earlier in the previews catalog on page 23, it says, Abrams Comic Arts explores an ancient city in the history of Jerusalem. A holy city in three religions, Jerusalem has been inhabited for 5,000 years and stands as one of the world's oldest cities. Vincent Lemire and Christoph Gottlieb take readers on a journey through time in their graphic novel from Abrams Comic Arts, The History of Jerusalem. From mythical prehistory through the many kingdoms and empires that claim the city to the modern city of the present day, showing the city and its evolution through the eyes of those who call it home. Now, back in the actual solicit, that was like a preview. It says, 4,000 years ago, Jerusalem was a small, isolated village perched on a ridgeline between the Mediterranean and the desert. Today, it is a bustling metropolis with almost 1 million inhabitants, attracting visitors from all over the world. The story of Jerusalem is in many ways the story of the development of Western civilization. Religions were born on its streets, conquerors laid siege to it, and great empires clashed over it. Considered the cradle of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the three major monotheistic religions, and a spiritual capital for more than half of humanity. Tracing its history gives us a unique perspective into the histories of these different religious identities. In this 256-page graphic novel, written by renowned historian Vincent Lemire and illustrated by cartoonist and animator Christopher Gottlieb, introduce us to the people, priests, craftsmen, architects, and residents who have built the history of Jerusalem over the last five millennia. So it's 256-page hardcover for $29.99. So this kind of caught my eye, I think, because they featured it. Otherwise, I may not have actually seen the title, because it's, when it's small like that, sometimes it's easier to pass. But I've always been interested in ancient history, specifically like the early stages of civilization, even before like the mighty empires formed. And of course, a lot of them formed in that region. You know, you have the Persians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and all these different groups that formed, and of course the Egyptian Empire, and then you had Jerusalem kind of right in the middle of all of that, and of course later you had the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire. So all of these, you know, very interesting things happening around this particular city. I like the idea of finding out, like, I know this is probably going to go to current times, which I'm probably the least interested in, even though it would be good to see how the city has changed and developed, which parts are still like what they consider old city, which are like people living in the original buildings, or the older buildings, I should say, and then people living in the newer modern type buildings. So, but yeah, there's a lot of interesting history and lore with Abraham coming upon somebody and like a priest named Melchizedek. And the history, or the mystery, I should say, of that character. And then later on, King David trying to lay siege and the Jebusites were there. And so like kind of the I call it the pre-Israelite era right around that time. I just found very, very interesting because it's so, like they put on here, that's so much lore and mythology around who's there, how it started, what was the original city developed for, you know, was it a worship site or all of that. So I look forward to checking this out. I think it'll be an interesting pickup and definitely has influenced lots of civilizations, but look forward to seeing. I think it's easier to read history in a graphic novel format with lots of images versus just straight prose. And so I think this will be a good pickup. So definitely check this one out.
Hey, this is James here with my next pick. It starts on page 238, and you are going to see, for about four pages in there, bundles of Avatar press material. You are also going to see, just so you know, over on page 258 and 259, I think it's like six or eight pages, something like that, maybe 10 at the most, bundles from Boundless Comics. Avatar Press, I'm a huge, huge fan of. That being said, we have not seen any new material for Avatar for a few years. Avatar is where one of my favorite series used to come out every in a monthly comic. Not all-time favorites, but it was like a ton of fun for me. Crossed. It was Avatar, the whole pitch behind it, the whole selling point was like creators would go there and they would create books, no holds barred. Write whatever you want. As violent, as gruesome, as sexy, as whatever you want. And Crossed was one of my favorite things that came out of that. And I just had a ton of fun with that. Cross Badlands, there's bag sets. Say, oh yeah, I'm looking at them right now. Bag 1 through 6, 1999. Cross Badlands, bag 7 through 12, 1999. You can pick up literally the whole Cross Badlands. Over on the next page, they have Shotgun Mary, Warrior Nun, Snowman, Plague of the Living Dead, different things that they have sitting there. Same thing with the Boundless. Boundless, just a warning, if you haven't read Boundless stuff, it tends to be much more mature comics. I'm talking about X-rated comics, typically. Not all of them, but a lot of them were. But it makes me sad, because I know these two publishers are, I'm almost positive, I read a story just a few weeks back, they're done, along with what's happening at Diamond, so they will not recover. I had a sneaking suspicion that Diamond had kind of like held their assets, and they weren't paying their bills, and all these comics have been sitting in a warehouse forever, because you would get the exact same books and the exact same page count allocated in the previous catalog. No changes, you know, and it was like, now they're doing a fire sale. They're bundling it all together. They're going to give big discounts. Buy it while you can, because Diamond's not going to be there. Avatar's not going to be there. Boundless isn't going to be there. When I say that, I hope Diamond is there. Diamond may have a purchaser. They may survive. I don't know. We just don't know right now. But along with this catalog, I will miss those two publishers, even though I've not purchased anything from them a long time. That being said, there is material there that's bundled together where you can pick it all up and try it out for one last time. If you're not going to try it out now, you'll never be able to try it again. I guarantee it won't be out there in digital format. I have no idea who even owns the Avatar license if they go belly up. We will see. Most likely, this stuff will go into the abyss, is my guess. It will not see the light of day. And that's a little bit unfortunate, but it is what it is. Pick it up if it sounds like something you'd enjoy. I'm just saying goodbye to it. This is just more like a heartfelt waving goodbye to this material. This month is, they will be disappearing, going into wherever they're going to go, into the ether. And on to my next, which will be my last pick.
This is Jason with another pick in the Diamond Previews catalog on page 242 from AWA Comics. It's called Lookout One Shot, New Illustrated Prose Oversized One Shot. So it looks like there's a lot. It's basically a novelette, I guess you can say, even though it's only 48 pages, but with photos, or not photos, but, you know, pictures that have been added to kind of support the story. It says, an illustrated tale of terror in this oversized prose novella, when Oscar, recuperating from a divorce, takes a job as a fire lookout in a remote forest outpost, he unearths a mangled sheet of paper inscribed with a strange set of rules that promise to keep him safe during his watch. Oscar laughs it off as a prank, a bit of light hazing from the other fire lookouts in the area, but when night falls, he discovers that the rules and the threat they protect against are all too real. Written by Dan Bailey, this taut illustrated prose thriller features gorgeous full-colored painted illustrations by acclaimed cover artist Tim Bradstreet, who's done work on The Punisher and Hellblazer, and marks the debut of the Future of Fear collaboration between AWA and acclaimed producer Roy Lee's Vertigo Entertainment. It's a 48-page, I guess you would say book or novelette, like they've called it, with pictures, obviously, for $8.99. It says a bone-chilling mystery vividly brought to life through that prose writing and striking full-color imagery. So I always like stories that border on the edge of horror where you're trying to figure things out, like more of that, like mystery. And I like the idea of the guy being out in a remote area and trying to figure out the mystery as he goes along. So what this actually made me think of was a game that came out originally for PlayStation and I guess Xbox or whatever it was at the time, also a computer game on Steam, but it was called The Long Dark. And in that one, it's a little bit different, but there is a particular part of it. Basically, it's in the northern Canadian wilderness, and it's like apocalyptic in the sense that you're pretty much by yourself. There are a few people that you might run into, but it's basically you and the elements scrounging for survival, seeing if you can make it from shelter to shelter. Well, one of the places that you can shelter is in a lookout. And when I was flipping through this, it was like I was having flashbacks, almost like I'd been there before. And it just is really something about being in a remote wilderness area and things happening around you, and you're not sure what to make of it. I just find it very, very fascinating. Like I said, that video game, The Long Dark, is more of a survival, not survival horror. I would just call it like more of a survival, like trying to stay warm, trying to make sure you're not dehydrated, make sure you're eating. What are you going to eat next when the canned food runs out? Those kind of things. This is definitely more of a little bit of a horror bent to it, but I look forward to checking it out. There is quite a bit of previews, like preview art. And it makes me want to pick it up even more. So I look forward to checking this out. It's coming out, I think, on May the 7th. So I definitely recommend this if you like that genre of books. This is Jason, and I'm on the Diamond Previews catalog on page 252. And this is another favorite for both myself and my son. We've enjoyed pretty much everything from this company. It's called Binge Books, and this issue is called The Heroes Union, The Witch and Warriors, number one. It says, get ready for a rumble, fun fans. The Heroes Union returns to tackle their toughest challenge yet. Their mission? Rescue the Wonder Witch who's been trapped in the Dread Dimension for 150 years. Their adversaries, Professor Wrath, a diabolical mastermind with a penchant for pain, Scourge, the psycho sicko, itching to unleash his fiendish schemes, and Janucide, an ungodly alien who dreams of enslaving humanity. Their odds? Forget the odds. These ain't your average heroes. They're the Heroes Union. They'll punch their way through any obstacle, blast their way past any danger, and never ever give up. Legendary scribe David McLiney and art maestros Ron Frenz and Chris Nye combine their titanic talents to create this action-packed, triple-sized magnus opus that delivers 3 issues worth of thrills. It's 68 pages for $7.99. So I do hope that we get this book. I do remember when they would put out the 64 or 68 page book for $4.99. And now obviously the price has gone up a bit, but you can't get better with these creators. And it does feel like a throwback series to maybe the late 70s, early to mid 80s of Marvel comics. And I think they do a great job with these characters. I look forward to checking this out, and I hope we continue to see the books from this publisher. No matter what happens with Diamond, I'm hoping that they'll find a place somewhere that they can go. But definitely check this one out if you like that Bronze Age, early modern age Marvel comics.
X-Men Patrick here, and I'm all the way in the back of the book this time. I'm on page 340, so a lot of these publishers back here may not be making it. We got to wait and find out what's going on with Diamond and their auction. And I think it starts on either the 4th or the 10th. And the auction ends at the end of the month. And April 1st is when they shut their doors if they have no money. So we're hoping that they get bought out. But I did Google to make sure. Red 5 Comics, their trades and everything are distributed by Simon & Schuster. So, I mean, if I have to wait and buy the trade of this, maybe that's what I'll do. But I'm going to order it and see what happens and see if it comes in. I'm looking at Red 5, Snow Monkey number 1. Writer is Jason Shaw. Artist is Hubert Kahn Michael. Cover artist is Aaron Barting. That's pretty cool. Aaron Barting does the Last Ronin with the Ghost Ninja Turtles in the back. So that's how I know Aaron Barton. Barting, sorry. It says, as seen on Free Comic Book Day, when teenager Jennifer Gatlin dons the ancient helmet of Wukong, she gains the experiences and abilities of every warder who's ever worn it. As Snow Monkey, she fights against her father, the crime lord known as the Sensei, who is training his students to become an army of deadly warriors. 32 pages, full color, $4.95, $5 book. But the cover, Aaron does a great job on the cover and sounds interesting. Why not, right? It's a monkey. I don't know if this is all anthropomorphic. I don't know if this is humans and she turns into a monkey wearing this mask. I have no idea. But I mean, for the ride, it sounds cool and hopefully it does come out and Diamond survives. But if it doesn't, you know, it is what it is. All right, on to the next picks. This is probably like my last pick in the book. So thank you, John. I don't know how this is going to look next month. So hopefully we'll have Image and DC and all the other ones. We might not have this one. So might be a shorter list to pick through. Till then, on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James here with my last pick, and it's going to be over on page 391, where, just so you know, there is a Vinland Saga Deluxe Volume, Volume 7. They're reprinting Vinland Saga in these really, really, really big volumes, kind of like the Berserker volumes, which were big and oversized, so you can see the art better. But there's also Vinland Saga, the normal size hardcover, Volume 14, writer and artist Makoto Yukimura. I have the first 13 volumes of this. I will be picking up the 14th in the regular hardcover. I am considering picking up, I still haven't done it, the deluxe volumes, the real, real big ones for my shelf. Vinland Saga is, if you're a fan of manga around Vikings, this is Vikings, Viking drama, stuff that's going on, stories of Vikings. And that I'll just leave it there. If you're a fan of the North, if you're a fan of Vikings, if you're a manga fan, I think this is something worth giving a shot, picking up, checking out. And if you really like the art, the big oversized volumes are right there at the 7th. You can still pick up volumes 1 through 6. And those are, it's a mature themes, just so you know, 608 pages for $55 versus the regular side hardcover, which is 400 pages, much better deal, for only $23. And you get a discount through Deep Discount Comics. And that's a hardcover, which is really not a bad deal, not a bad thing, the small one. And the big one is just if you like to see the art and you want something to show off on a shelf. And that's going to be it for this month. I want to thank everyone who does send in clips. I want to thank John for doing the editing. And cherish your catalogs. I don't know how long we'll be getting this previous catalog. I hope we keep getting them. I'm hoping that one of the purchasers, because I've heard there's people that are lined up to purchase parts, maybe a whole, I don't know, of Diamond. But I'm hoping someone picks up this catalog and keeps it going. It's my last remnant of the Sears catalog that I used to enjoy as a kid, and I still really enjoy this catalog, and I still find stuff here. If the Diamond catalog goes away, I don't know where I'm going to find manga. I'm not going to follow it on Amazon. They don't give you a notification of stuff being pre-solicited every month. I'm not going to sign up for news mailings, electronic mailings from 30 different publishers to follow this stuff. So I feel like my reading will kind of decrease if this catalog goes away. And that's unfortunate, but it is what it is, and we evolve and we grow, and I'll always have the book club, and we'll have an infinite supply of back issue material to go through. All right, please, more voices, more people send in clips. And until next month, talk to you guys later. Talk to you on the Slack. Bye.
All right, guys, X-Men Patrick here. This will be my last recording. I got to figure out how to make this into the previews. I'm going to have to look up the codes now because I'm in the toy section just doodling around, just looking around. Found a couple of cool things. I was like, oh maybe this thing is yes, I want it. I'm on page 65 on when you flip the book, it has M. We're looking at Robocop 1986 Ford Taurus chrome with figure, 124 scale die cast vehicle. 124 is usually 375. They're saying Robocop stands 2 3/4 inches tall, so maybe it's not 375. But Jada Toys, dead or alive, you're coming with me. show off your love for the classic RoboCop franchise with this new figure and car set from Jada. The RoboCop figure stands 2¾ inches tall, and this OCP Ford Taurus features moving wheels and functioning doors. Previously solicited, I didn't see it. It's a die-cast car, $25. I don't know if Deep Discount will have this on their order form. I hope they do, and I'm going to try to order it and hope it comes in. If not, I guess I have to go search on the web and try to buy it, because this is the kind of crap us 90 babies, I guess you want to say, 80s and 90s kids, now that we have some expendable money. I don't know if all of you have much as expendable money anymore, because it's, anyway, this economy. But this brings me back to my kid years. This is the original RoboCop and his little Ford Taurus. You know, like, I remember watching that movie and being like, RoboCop is the man. It doesn't look like he has like a gun or anything. I can't really see. I'm going to have to dig deeper, like I said, and figure all this out. Definitely want this car though. And it's in the order form. And if previews goes away, we won't have these toys to look at like this. That's the other issue. All right. On to the next pick. Thank you guys. Peace.
I hope everyone found something of interest in the pre-order catalogs this month. Jason certainly did. Going to be an expensive month for you, Jason. I want to thank Jason, Patrick, James, Billy, and Kyle and Drew over at Comics for Fun and Profit for sending in clips. The Preview Spotlight has an open submission policy. I want to get more voices and opinions in these episodes. We've got our regulars. They're great. They're awesome. But I want to hear what the rest of you think, too. Sending in a clip is as easy as recording it on your computer or smartphone and sharing it with me through email or Dropbox. Sending in a single clip is fine. And the reason I want more people participating, each of you have a different taste in comics, a different perspective on comics, and you may find things that the rest of us are just missing. It's flown under our radar, or you know something about it that would convince us to get it. And if you don't participate, then I don't know you're out there listening. You can participate by sending in clips to the Preview Spotlight, or by joining the conversation on the Slack channel and the forum, or by sending in questions for the Monthly Comics Spotlight or the Back Issue Spotlights, Astro City, Legion, Warlord, or just emailing me and letting me know you exist and what you think of the podcast. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. I think you're listening to this because you enjoy listening and talking about comics. So, join the conversation. Now, the deadline for the Preview Spotlight is normally the second Saturday of the month. Early submissions are always appreciated. You can always check the main page of the Comic Book Page website for the latest information on the next deadline and to sign up for email reminders. The deadline for Preview Spotlight number 209 covering the April solicitations is 9 a.m. Saturday, April 12th, 2025. Again, I want to thank the people who sent in clips, and I want to thank you for listening. Hopefully you discovered something new in this episode, and with that, we'll call it an episode. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please, join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, forum, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayo. And thanks again for listening.